Good morning.
My name is Eric Howard. I'm the CEO and founder of Outreach Incorporated. Outreach is a ministry that for the last 20 years has been about equipping and empowering homeless teens and young adults to achieve stability and life transformation. What it looks like is at the corner of New York and rural, we have a little drop-in center where young people can come in and get food and clothing, basic first aid, check their mail, make a phone call, work on getting their state ID, a birth certificate, social security card, connecting with a case manager, working on finding housing, addressing some of their mental health needs, unpacking some of the trauma that they've experienced in their life. We define homeless as lacking a fixed, adequate, or stable nighttime residence. At the core of what we do is the spiritual and the emotional and the relational well-being of a young person that simply finds himself in a homeless situation. When our young people show up to our front door, our case managers connect with them on the street or in the high schools, we don't always know what the circumstances are that bring them to us. We just know that they're homeless and that we have to respond. But what does it mean to respond? It's a simple question, but it's a question that I continue to wrestle with and through. I think the reason that I wrestle with it is because I struggle with how to love. Specifically, how to love the way Christ calls me to love. In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, it says that love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in what is evil, but rejoices with what is truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Perhaps many of you know this, you've heard it. Some of you perhaps even have it memorized. But my question is, how are you living it out? See, if we were to play a film of your heart and lining it up with how you love, would you want those sitting next to you to see it? See, there's this amazing story in Scripture. It comes out of Luke 10. Verses 25 through 37, it's the story, it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. It's when an expert of the law, an attorney, questions Jesus, the teacher, rabbi. This young expert in the law, he asked this question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, what is written in the law? And how do you read it? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus responds and he says, you've answered correctly. Do this and live. But the young expert in the law wants to justify himself. And so he does a follow-up question. Who is my neighbor? How many of us can relate to that? We ask the question, we get the answer, but then we want to actually justify who it is that we want to, need to, ought to love. And so Jesus starts to unpack this story, the parable of the time. Scholars would say that it was probably a recent incident that occurred, very similar to that we know what storm hit the East Coast. We're familiar with it via social media or phone calls or friends that are there that are digging out. Jesus is drawing upon the circumstances of the time, and he's saying, let me share a story that you're very familiar with. And Jesus starts, he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. This is about a 16-mile journey. I tracked it this morning. Just shy of 16 miles is from my house on the east side to here. But the road there was twisty and turny and arid and there was rocky. And Jesus says, this man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn to take care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. Now, we don't know what was going on with the priest or the Levite. Technically, under the Mosaic law, they didn't have to touch the person. I get it. Perhaps they were late to a sacrifice. Maybe they were late to a meeting. They were in a hurry. Perhaps they were afraid to tend to the person that was injured. Maybe it was simply inconvenient. See, this poor fellow on his journey had simply gotten beat up. Literally, he had gotten dragged off the side of the road. And the priest hears him and walks by. And the Levite actually goes to him, looks at him, crosses over, and continues on. But the Samaritan, and we miss this, the outcast, the broken, the taunted and teased, the one that never fit in to any culture, was the one that probably got off his donkey, out of his comfort zone, went to him. In the Greek, it's literally he tore his own garments to bandage him and applied oil and wine, put him back on his donkey, took him to an inn, and then gave 2 silver coins to the owner, the proprietor, and said, take care of him, and whatever happens, when I come back, if there's any additional expenses, I'll cover it. See, I think we miss it. The ones that knew it walked by. And the one that was shunned got it. See, the young attorney is wanting to know who he has to love. He really wants Jesus to say, love those that are easy, love those that are convenient, love those that don't cost me anything. Make it simple. Make love available from 9 to 5 when I don't have to step out of my comfort zone. Because the very end of that parable, that story, Jesus asked the simple question, which of the three do you think was his neighbor? And the attorney, the expert in the law, has to wrestle. He said it was the one that had mercy. And Jesus simply says, go and do likewise. What I like about that parable is that Jesus is calling you and I to a very different standard. He's calling us to love boldly and deeply and sacrificially. Jesus is saying love does. Love is not easy. It does. We can have all the knowledge and the wisdom and the influence and the status and the compassion and the generosity, but without love, we miss it. 1 Corinthians 13, perhaps you've heard this, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, And if I have faith that can move the mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. If we have not love, it is nothing. Not when it's easy, but when it's messy. When it costs us something. It's loving those that are broken and addicted, mentally ill and impoverished, spiritually, emotionally, and financially bankrupt. For those that are sitting next to you, to your left and to your right, we miss the one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, in Romans 13, 8 through 10, it says, do not run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. And when you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. It continues, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule, this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, no matter how much you or I has loved, we are under an obligation to keep on loving. Not just fellow Christians, but as the verse says, love others, or the NIV says, your fellow man. The love of your neighbor encompasses all social responsibility. Jesus taught that our neighbor is anyone in need. That goes back to Luke 10, when the young expert says, who is my neighbor? See, I think this is what Paul, the author of Romans, is getting at. We naturally love ourselves. In fact, we're really good at loving ourselves. When was the last time you tried to outlove somebody? But you may be thinking, you don't know the circumstances I'm in. You don't know what they did to me, or she did to me, or he did to me, or they did to me, or what my boss did to me. You're absolutely right. I don't. God does. And he still calls you to love. He gets it. He put his own son on a cross because he loves you. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You don't have to physically hurt your neighbor to cause harm, because harm takes on a lot of different forms. Complacency, entitlement, when you ignore injustice, being judgmental, the attitude that someone else will take care of it, someone else will do it, they deserve what they get, I don't have time. When was the last time you asked, is my neighbor hungry? Do I really need the new outfit when others are in rags? Maybe I should talk to that young executive that is climbing the corporate ladder, but he's losing his wife and kids. Maybe I'm not utilizing my talents and skills to give back and love deeply, to create opportunity. Think about what could be accomplished by loving our neighbors well. What could happen to the abortion rate, the addiction rate, individuals being trafficked, families falling apart, women feeling alone, men feeling worthless. See, I think we are a love-starved culture. We're infatuated with status and power and the me first, but we are malnourished, starving for what is pure and true and good. We feast on what is empty, content from the crumbs of a banquet table. Beloved, when you choose to love, and it is a choice, we are living the opposite of what culture says love is. And loving well does not mean that you will not have conflict, Because when you love well, you will enter the battlefield and you will get bruised and you will get broken and you will get hurt. But it's worth it. See, because if we're honest, each one of us is that young expert in the law. We stand there and we say, Jesus, I know it. What do you expect of me? We want to justify it. We want it to be convenient. We want to know who are we supposed to love and not those that are costing us something. We can get focused on the wrong things so quickly. See, prior to Christmas, I had this amazing opportunity to live extravagantly and to love generously. And there's a company here in town that the last several years has poured into outreach. And prior to Christmas, they give all their employees about $300 and they go spend it and they come back and they share the story. But then they also bring in about five other ministries and we sit around this table and we get a talk and share. They took us to Fleming's. I've never been to Fleming's. Definitely recommend going there. Definitely recommend someone else picking up the bill. It's expensive, but it was awesome. Because after when everyone shares their stories, he comes around to the table, throws down an envelope, and he says, you have 3 hours to go spend it. Awesome. So like, I'm the urban guy. And so like, hey, what are we going to do? And so I'm listening to him. And so I serve on this board besides outreach that works with women coming out of sexual exploitation. They're prostitutes trying to get well in Indianapolis. And so I'm like, hey guys, we can go spend some money on some prostitutes. Got some very weird looks that morning from them. We met the first one, covered some utility bills. It wasn't what they were expecting. What were you expecting? I don't know. Went to the second one, paid 2 months back rent. She'd just come out of rehab and then paid it forward. But see, it still wasn't enough because these guys are starting to get excited about what does it mean to love them. We go to a plasma bank. We start giving out $10 Subway cards. And I'm just kind of in the background because this is I get to do this every day, kind of. And the generosity and the thankfulness of the people that were giving, they were blown away by it. And then we go to a grocery store and we start buying people's groceries. And we're like, oh, they probably took advantage of it. No! Most of those people were getting food for that night, that day. Not for a week. There was one particular woman that was walking out, and I simply put my arm around her, and I said, Jesus loves you. And she starts crying. She goes, you don't understand. What I have is all I have for the next week. It was a 2 liter of soda and a bag of chicken tenders. She said, I prayed. I paid all my bills this morning. This is all I have. Loving generously, Jesus will show up. And she's crying. We get to be a part of God moving in her life. Love does and love costs. Working for outreach for over 20 years has taught me loving is difficult, but it's so worth it. When we die to ourselves and die to our wants, we start to awaken the kind of love that Christ calls us to live. If everything is stripped away from you, everything, would you still love? Your resources, your health, your clothes, your status, your job, would you love? And that's something you got to wrestle with, because if that is all stripped away, why are we living if we cannot love? Guys, and I'm standing here because I don't get it right. I got a putrid heart that is messed up and it struggles. And it's because of Christ that I love, not because of anything that I do. Love is the woman that gives $7 a month to outreach, to us to help homeless teens. Love is the formerly homeless teen that comes to our drop-in center to tell other homeless teens they can make it out. Love is the volunteer that sat in the delivery room for 24 hours with one of our girls and to be a part of their adoption and to talk and share that you will always be a mother and you made the ultimate sacrifice as a parent to provide an opportunity to your newborn child. Love is hearing the countless stories of rape and trauma and abuse of young people and getting up day after day after day and doing it again. Love is the donor that's allowed our staff to use their house on the beach to find rest and comfort and never expecting anything from us. Love is the horrifically abused young man, HIV positive, that comes into our drop-in center to get a meal because we are his family. Love is the donors that are building a new facility for us and moving us from one shower to four and four washer and dryers to 10 and a new intake center to simply provide dignity, worth, and value to some homeless teens on the east side of Indianapolis. Love is saying, forgive me, I'm wrong. Love is being bold, stepping out of what is your comfort zone and taking the challenge and taking the risk and walking intimately with who Christ is. Because as the young attorney, the expert in the law, Jesus very clearly said, do this and you will have life. I don't know how many of you are living and how many of you are simply walking through this time on earth. But Jesus promises very clearly, if you love, you will find life. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here. I thank you for this congregation that supports this ministry. I thank you for their hearts and their minds, their bodies, their skills, and their talents. I thank you for the wrestlings that they have deep inside themselves. Continually stir their hearts for what stirs yours, Father. Sustain them, equip them, allow them, and help them to live life and to love boldly, sacrificially, and fully. And it's in your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.